Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of the Busy Gamer Podcast. Dusty here alongside my wonderful co-host, Vince. How you doing today, sir?
Good, Dusty. How's it going, everybody? Thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely, man. We ironed out the kinks last week, as that was our first duo show. And we'll be ironing out the kinks for the next, 100 or so shows. But, we're going to continually try and strive to get better. If you don't know what the Busy Gamer Podcast is, it is, in general, a video game podcast where Vince and I get together as two buddies and just talk about one of our favorite hobbies, and that is obviously video games. We start the show by talking about what we've been playing this week. We then dive into some news in the industry that interests us, and then we go into a main topic that either Vince or myself have chosen. And today's main topic is gaming on the go, with everything happening with Apple Arcade and some newer games that have been released recently. We thought this would be a prime time to do that. So without any further ado, Vince, can you let them know where they can get in touch with us if they want to maybe ask a question to be featured on the show or maybe even join our Discord?
Yeah, of course. So, guys, there is going to be two different links in the show notes below. The first is where you can actually go leave us a voice message. If you want to have some feedback or some information for us to share on our next episode or one of the coming up episodes, definitely smash that link. It's on Anchor. You just click the link to Anchor Busy Gamer Podcast, and there's going to be a button where you can actually go leave us a voice message, and we'll listen back. We'll come up with a response, and we'll let you join in on a future show. Also, there's a new link. We do have a newly formed Discord just for the Busy Gamer Podcast. Definitely that link is in the show notes as well. But come join us on the Discord. Hang out with us. Chat with us. You'll find us live there, hanging around during the recording sessions. And then we'll also be checking in and out throughout the week. So if you have any additional questions or feedback for us, definitely don't hesitate to pop into Discord and leave us some comments, guys.
Absolutely. And all of this stuff, Vince, is an ever-evolving thing, right? Like, we're going to continually try to add things as we see fit. Currently, being the Busy Gamer Podcast, Vince and I both agreed that we're really not going to start up any socials as of right now, as far as Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or any of that. We've already got enough on our plate getting the show out, getting it edited. But if you would like to communicate with us, Discord is such an amazing platform where you can bounce ideas off of us, you can ask us questions when we're not live, and maybe even have one of your questions featured on the show in the future. So all of that stuff is rolling out. Again, we're going to try to roll it out as quickly as possible, but as Vince said, leave us a voice message to be featured on a show, as well as hook up with us on Discord to continually keep that conversation open. So Vince, all the housekeeping stuff's out of the way. What's been going on in your gaming life, my friend?
Yeah, man. So, I mentioned Escape from Tarkov last week. We're definitely still playing some of that. There was an announcement made for anybody that loves that survival genre, the shooter of that type. The big update is coming, update 0.12. It is still an early release, so this is not to full release timing yet, but there's a lot of cool stuff coming. If you're an Escape from Tarkov fan, check that out. It's coming in the next couple of weeks. So I've been spending some time there trying to really learn the game. It's so in depth. Trying to learn the basics, so that way at least I won't be too far behind when it finally hits that, because it's doing a full wipe of everybody on the game. So, they'll be back to my level, just with a little more experience. But secondly, Apex Legends Season 3 came out. I actually played that last night with a friend. I'll be honest, I haven't touched Apex Legends in probably a couple months, probably since the beginning of Season 2. But there's a new map, a new character, some new, hop-ups and stuff on the game. If you're a fan of Apex, if you're a fan of that fast speed, which is funny because it's the exact opposite of Tarkov. Tarkov is one of the slowest paced games I play, I feel like, and Apex is one of the fastest. But if you're a fan, go check it out again. Season 3, I think, is a great addition to the game. It's a good next step. There's been a lot of discussion on how slow they are to roll out changes, but this is some of the changes a lot of people have been looking for. So if you're into Apex, definitely go check it out. It launched, I think, 2 days ago. On today's time, so I think October 1st is when it really went live. So go check it out, chat.
Yeah, so I think the main complaint in the beginning was Apex was hot from the start, right? All the streamers, they paid them tons of money to stream it, so it kind of got a really big start, a really big boost when it was kind of released and announced. And then it kind of had a lull period. I feel like now it's kind of evening out. I see a lot of my buddies playing Apex Legends. I think that one of the complaints was that, and maybe you can tell me how you feel about this, Vince, was that when they released their battle pass and their new skins, there was really nothing interesting there, but I'm looking through the Battle Pass, which is a new Battle Pass for this new season, and there's some really neat, unique, cool stuff. And I think the cool thing about Fortnite, and you know, think or say what you want about that game, one of the coolest things about it is all of the new colorful, unique, fun skins that they release throughout the seasons and whatnot. And I think Apex is probably going to have to do a better job at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that genre, that's like the whole free-to-play mode, right? A free-to-play on a big console or PC-type game, you have to find ways to monetize it that the community still supports, right? I think Fortnite has done a great way of doing it. They release so much content that even if you're not buying it all, like if you're buying just a few of the skins or some that really interest you, they're releasing so many and hitting so many different interests that like they're able to make money. I think to your point, Apex kind of did it wrong in a way of where, yeah, they released the Battle Pass and stuff, but they didn't get enough of the community to buy into it. And so they had to get creative, I think, to keep the game alive, because that's how they're making money, right? Like, I mean, it's a free-to-play game after all.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about monetization and games here coming up when we get to the mobile section. But no, you're exactly right. Like, I think that, you know, we went through a phase where loot boxes, you know, that was was the thing, right? Like, Overwatch, I remember playing Overwatch back when it first released, and I played Overwatch heavily. I mean, I played a ton of Overwatch and have probably close, I don't know, hundreds of hours in that game over the past three, four, however long it's been released. And with that being said, you know, the loot box was kind of a thing. Now you're seeing more of a battle pass type thing to where, you know, Fortnite kind of revolutionized it. They made it big. There were people doing it before them, but now games like Magic the Gathering Arena, they have a battle pass. And I think other games are going to have battle passes similar to what you see here. I think you're seeing this become more of an easier way to monetize a free-to-play game.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and I mean, you know, there's a big, I guess, battle you could call it on what do you prefer? Would you rather fork out $60 for a game and have that content there? Would you rather have the free to play that draws in a bigger community, accessible, but then really to some of that hype or some of the cool additives, like you are kind of perpetuating that money? You know, some people love it and some hate it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, the gaming companies love it because there are people that are whales in these games, which are who is going to be spending a ton of money. And that's a very small percentage of the player base, but they're going to basically pay for the other people. Now, I'll be honest, I probably would be considered a miniature whale in certain games. Hearthstone, definitely.
We're going to call you a dolphin, Dusty.
A dolphin. Let's go. I like it. That's a good one. I think I would merge more towards the whale side on Hearthstone. I would hate to think over the past 5 years how much money I've spent on Hearthstone. It's hundreds of dollars, I will say that. I mean, it's not upwards of thousands, but it's hundreds of dollars. But I mean, if you think about the value that you're getting, right, Vince, like I'm not into cars. The main hobby of mine is video games. And so with that being said, it's one of those things to where is your value at? You can't go to the movies for under 10 to 13 bucks a pop. Once you get some food, some popcorn, some drinks, you're looking at a $60 to $80 date if you're going just you and your spouse or you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever it is. And so that is the medium that I've decided to, you know, invest my money in, and I don't really see a problem in that.
You look at the amount of time you've invested as well, definitely think you've got your money's worth.
Yeah, especially with Hearthstone being like a toilet game that you can play on the John. You can play that, you know, you can play on the phone when you're in bed and watching something with my wife, whatever it may be. And so, yeah, I've definitely got my value there. I am one of those people who is not against paying for convenience.
Yep.
And that's a conversation for another day. But there's something to be said about, well, if you're a busy person, you have a little more disposable income than, say, person B or C, there's nothing wrong with paying for a little bit of convenience. Now, where there's an issue is when you pay to win. That's the situation where I have an issue and a problem with. But if you're just paying for convenience or you're paying for something that's cosmetic, no problem there. I have been deep into the Hearthstone single player story mode, whatever you want to call it, the Slay the Spire-like. They release these now with every expansion. I think Hearthstone is just now figuring out the cadence. They've released that the next game update is going to bring back almost 20 cards from the wild format, so from previous expansions. They're really doing... This has been the best year to be a Hearthstone fan. I'm super excited of where that game's going. So I've been really doing that. Been finishing up Borderlands 3, getting through that story. I believe I'm probably a couple of bosses away, maybe 3 or 4 hours left. I've already put in almost 30 or 35 hours. That game probably takes about 40 to complete. So finishing up that campaign. And Destiny 2, the new expansion, came out this week on Tuesday. And I actually dove in. I'm a couple of expansions behind, but what this one does, Vince, is it allows you to catch up, and it doesn't have you go back the getting rid of levels altogether. It's all just the grind now to get your light level up to whatever it needs to be for the current bit of content, and I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm only, you know, 2 or 3 hours in, just doing the story. I have no desire to be an end game player within Destiny. I love the story. I love the way the guns feel in Destiny 2. Did you ever play any Destiny 2?
I played just for a few minutes. I would say didn't get in very far at all, but then I haven't really been back to it. But this new Shadowkeep, definitely cool. And the fact that you can just hop in and play again. And all they've done cross-platform, but like cross-saves, what exactly does?
Yeah, it's a cross-save thing to where you can't really play with people from the other platform, but you can switch your saves over and kind of bounce back and forth between the two.
Yeah, I think that's a great feature to add, so that way people that do like to play on multiple platforms have played somewhere else before but have now like changed, you can pick up your last save and keep moving.
Absolutely. So been in the Destiny 2, and the final thing I've been doing is I've been diving headfirst into some mobile games, but we're going to talk about those in our main topic at the end of the show, so I'm not really going to dive into that right now. But let's go ahead and transition into news. And so, Vince, I'll let you get the first one.
Yeah, so the first thing we wanted to bring up in, you know, this is actually a good topic to start with because of it being mobile week, we'll call it, is the Mario Kart release, Mario Kart Tour. The biggest news that really I saw about it, of course, I've picked it up, you've picked it up, we've both been playing, we'll talk more in a minute, but it broke the Pokemon Go record, and it had 20 million day one downloads. Now, yeah. I know that orders type of thing, you know, it was still free to download, but you could almost pre-reserve it, at least it downloaded. That's what my phone did at least. But man, that's a huge release.
Yeah, I think that what's also interesting is that the financial side of things also was revealed, and even though it had like 20 million day one downloads, it's been downloaded up to 65 upwards of that million now. Day of date now, you know, as we're recording this podcast. But the financial side of it is that it didn't make as much money as other mobile Nintendo titles in that same time period. And I think we're gonna really talk on that next. And that's honestly, the Mario Kart Tour style of monetization is such a mobile game way of doing things. There is so many ways for them to take your money. It is a gacha type game. If you don't know what that is, basically where there's going to be a rotating banner. It's very popular in Japan, very popular with Japanese type games. Basically, there's a banner each week. Like the first week, it was, I believe, what was the girl's name? The Mario character. Gosh, what is her name?
I unlocked her and I can't even think of her name.
I know. I unlocked her too, like my third or fourth pull. I can't think of it right now. But anyways, like right now, it is Musician Mario. And so, you know, these characters can be unlocked, but it's a gacha type system to where you spend a premium currency that is earned very slowly for free, or you can just buy it. And I think the slimy part about this, Vince, is that the way they've priced out the different gems. And so if you go to their shop now, which I'm looking at the shop now within Mario Kart Tour, the diamonds or the gems, whatever you want to call it, if you want to buy them, they come in these quantities. So for $2, you can get 3 gems. Well, you can't even pull on the banner without 5 gems. And so you're either going to have to pull, you know, spend $6, which is the next one, or go up to the next one, which is $13. The way they have these tiered out, they really are encouraging you to spend more money, which is obvious. And then they also have just individual purchases, like where you can buy a gold pass, which is like a subscription service, kind of like a battle pass type tier as well. It's really slimy. I really would like to see them back off of this because I'm really enjoying the game.
Yeah, and I think it's things like that who scare some way, right? And when you as part really of, but when you look at some of the old Nintendo, when you looked at Mario Run and then like Dr. Run, they charged $12 flat for everybody to unlock the kid. People think in mobile games it should be free, but then in Dr. Mario, it went to almost more extreme than what Mario Kart is, if we're almost forcing you to pay money to even play the game every day type of thing. So I think somewhere in the middle, but I'm with you. I think it's a tad excessive.
Yeah, it's a tad bit excessive. It's unfortunate. Mario Kart in general is one of my favorite Nintendo titles. I remember playing it with my family, my friends growing up. I absolutely loved that series of games. I was super stoked about it coming to mobile. I am not one of those people who's like, oh no, they're money hungry, so I'm not going to play. I'll probably continually play the game. It'll probably be in my rotation of mobile games that I play on at least a daily, if not weekly basis. And so I just hope they kind of lighten up on the gacha system and they figure out a way to kind of have a good middle ground.
For sure. Yeah, no, completely agree.
The next story that I wanted to talk about was that there was an article released over on IGN. There was also an interview done with a Ninja and his wife, where basically they were talking about, for the first time, kind of this move to Mixer. So the move from Twitch to Mixer. I thought this was very interesting. I'm not going to cover the whole article. Basically, the gist of it is that Microsoft, he says, was, or Jessica, his wife said, which is his manager, said that Microsoft was so aligned with what we wanted to do and where we were at, and Twitch wasn't willing to budge. So basically, they had, you know, partnered with a lot of companies and organizations to sponsor the Ninja brand, and Twitch wasn't willing to allow them to promote that or do that over on Twitch. And so maybe, and obviously he got paid a ton of money, but maybe it had a little bit more to do with maybe what Twitch wasn't allowing him to do. Are we going to see more people switch over in the future, these larger streamers, Vince, that are trying to partner up and get more brand recognition outside of the platform?
I think it's going to be interesting because what it has done overall is it's brought it up to be a topic of conversation to where either other streamers are going to do it, going to start to concede some, right? Like, I think you're going to see somebody's going to bend, either more are going to jump ship to have that flexibility, or else Twitch finally just going to, you know, pull the plug, I guess you could say, on being such a hard line on some of the topics, as you started to see in some of the announcements had at TwitchCon. Last week, they've started to make some changes, I think, to really cater to more of their creator base, so that they don't start to lose any more people like Ninja.
I have a question. Do you think we'll ever see Ninja back on Twitch?
Yeah, so I mean, I think Ninja's came out and said, like, it's a business to him, right? Like, he's a full-time content creator, so he's going to go whoever to wherever is the most supportive of him and his business. And so I think, you know, Microsoft was a strategic move over there to Mixer, but I wouldn't throw out anything as far as where he might go next, right? We don't know how long of a contract it is, but once that contract ends, I think anywhere's fair game, honestly, Dusty.
Yeah, the details of it has not been revealed. There's nothing about how much money he got. There's nothing about how long the contract is for. And so if I were to have my guesses, I would say in a couple of years, if Twitch gets its act together, I think we'll probably see the return of Ninja to Twitch. And that'll be a big deal. And he can monetize and market
exactly
that as well. You never know, though. Microsoft may continue to kill it and may continue to do some cool stuff over on Mixer. And I hope so. I think that the more competition there are, the better it is for us consumers.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think every step is in the right direction, it seems lately. So him pushing the envelope has forced Twitch to make some moves. And so I'm excited to see where it takes us next, for sure.
So a new game's coming out tomorrow, Vince. There's a couple of games coming out tomorrow, actually. But the one of interest that I want to talk about is Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. It's coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Will you play this game? Will it be one that you buy? Is it something that's even interesting to you?
I'll be honest. When I first saw the stuff about it, definitely interested. I've liked the whole Ghost Recon franchise, you could say. I haven't played all of them. I definitely think it would be something that I'm interested in. But I'll be honest, based upon how much good stuff has came out and how many good games there are that I'm currently playing, plus, with Call of Duty on the horizon, some of the others coming up very soon, I don't think I'm going to be diving into this one right now. Now, will it be something I play later? Probably. But is it something I'm going to play at launch? I'm doubting it.
So a month and a half ago, if I would have posed this question to myself, it would have been a definitive yes. Now, what was the one that came out last year? What was the name of it? I cannot think of the name of it right. But they release these yearly, it seems like.
Right.
And the one last year got fairly good reviews. People were talking very positive of the game. But over the past week and a half, all of the major gaming outlets have been absolutely just dumpstering this game, saying that it has major tech issues, the story is convoluted, there is no streamlined, the gameplay is has no fluidity to it. There's so many critiques of this game. Now, I will say this, I never really take reviews, but when you're on a budget as a gamer and you have so much stuff to play as it is, if there's even just a little bit about a game that comes out like this, then I'm just like, okay, I'm done. I'm like you. Maybe I pick it up on sale, Steam sale, whatever, a year from now and play it. But right now, there's too much stuff to get into, too much stuff I want to finish up, and old games that I'm going to go back and play. So, no. I'm definitely not going to pick up Breakpoint. Definitely not tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm completely in agreement. I think the tough thing for them is getting this tough review and at a release point, you know, in the fall releases where there's a ton of game releases coming out across all platforms, I think it's going to hurt them a lot, man, for sure.
Couple of notes here that I didn't put in our show notes, Vince. I'm going to hit you blindly on this. Two fun things. Number one, in an interview this week, Overwatch game director Jeff Kaplan, which is, I love Jeff Kaplan, fantastic. World of Warcraft, now he's on Overwatch. Anyways, they ask him, because of the Switch release of Overwatch that's now available, what character from Overwatch would he like to see in Super Smash Brothers? Being a huge Super Smash Brothers fan, personally, I'd like to see Winston. He said basically his words was that they can have any of them. And I love that. Do you know how exciting and how nuts the internet would go if a Blizzard and Nintendo crossover happened and Winston or Tracer ended up as the next DLC character for Smash? That would be so nuts. Oh, man, I would be so excited for that.
You know, if they were smart, they would have timed it to do something like that, to hype up bringing Overwatch to Switch for sure.
There's probably a nightmare with cross doing all that stuff. It's probably all kind of convoluted to even get any of that done. But I'm with you. Could you imagine like the release of Overwatch on Switch if they're like, oh yeah, by the way, with this release, if you have Smash Bros, you can play Winston right now as a playable character or play Tracer right now. The internet would go mad. So many people would buy Switches just for that. That would be so exciting. And then lastly, the Untitled Goose Game. Have you heard of this?
I've seen it taking the internet by storm. Okay. I haven't watched any gameplay, but man, I've been hearing so much noise about it.
Okay, I picked it up on Switch. I'm playing it on my new Switch Lite. And I gave it to my 4-year-old daughter, and she absolutely loves it. The controls are simple. They give you a list of tasks that you need to do with this goose. Like the beginning stage is, you're around this farmer and you've got to steal his hat. You got to make him put on a different hat, whatever it is. And my daughter just loved controlling the goose, and she could make it make the noises. She could make it, make his head go down or up. This is genius, man. It's priced perfectly. It's a digital game must have. It's just so much fun. Is it the greatest thing ever in video games? No, but man, it's so much fun.
Yeah, and that's what's funny, man. I think it's a great time of gaming when you can take something this low price and really hit a different market.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of this podcast, right? Like, I think you and I, the reason why this show is going to go so well is because, number one, we're good friends, so we know each other real well. But number two, I think our interest in games are slightly different in that, you're more into the FPSs, more of the shooters, the survival type style games. And I love the more story centric RPGs. I'm into MMOs, things like that. So I think we've got a good taste of both.
For sure. And that's the balance, man.
#balance the power. Let's go into our topic. Let's go ahead and you introduce that this week, Vince.
Yeah, so I think, we touched on Apple Arcade and some other stuff last week in the podcast, but with all the news and all the releases coming out, I know some have been over the past couple of weeks. It's not necessarily just this past week, but there's been enough coming out that we really wanted to dedicate today to gaming on the go, right? Like the mobile gaming, and realistically what we're going to majorly talk about today is iOS gaming, because, you know, shameless plug that you and I both pretty much only play mobile games on iOS, not counting like Switch and other consoles, but our mobile gaming there. So, man, a few big hits: Apple Arcade, Mario Kart, Call of Duty. There's been a lot of drops over the past couple of weeks, and I'm not ashamed to say, like, I've been playing more mobile in my spare time than even turning on some of the consoles, it seems.
Yeah, a lot of it may have to do with kind of our weeks and kind of what we've had going on as far as the ability and being able to play mobile games as opposed to sitting down and playing a few hours of console or PC. But I'm with you. Like, Apple Arcade, I spoke on it last week. Man, I think the value is there. It's now going to be all about how do they implement every month? How many games are they going to release? Are they going to be as good as these initial launch titles? I don't know. I love it. And I think that what makes this unfortunate is that Mario Kart Tour could have been an amazing title to have included into Apple Arcade. But the sad part is a company like Nintendo or Activision releasing Call of Duty Mobile are going to make 10, 15, 20 times more money doing the free-to-play stuff and slimy subscription and microtransaction pricing than they would if they put it in Apple Arcade. And I think that's going to be kind of the curse that the Apple Arcade faces.
Yeah, I think they have a few really good, like, we'll call them the, you know, the big names on Apple Arcade right now. Some of the big games, the pro releases, for say. And there's a lot of others peppered in. There's like 100 different games out there. But to your point, the big other publishers, not all of them are signing on to something like this. So the good news is it's cheap. $5 a month gets you 100 games. And not only that, if you're like me and Dusty and some of the others that enjoy even some multiplayer mobile games, the fact that you could have multiple people pay $5, and honestly, there's a 1 month trial right now, but pay $5 and have 100 different games. Not all of them are mobile, but that you can actually guarantee each other to have, like, that's a great ability to knock all that out of where you're not saying, hey, go buy this game or go download this one. You all have access to it just by going under this one bucket, you know, of the Apple Arcade.
And I want to kind of close the book on Apple Arcade for a minute. I think we both think it's a great value. There is a free month trial right now. You know, haven't tried Grindstone, it's amazing. If you haven't tried the new Rayman game, it's amazing. All of these are in Apple Arcade. Sayonara Wild Heart is another one that's fantastic. It's a story mode game. It's a story-based game. All of these games are very bite-sized, very much fit on the format of mobile. But man, the two that I want to talk about, you know, we've already talked about Mario Kart Tour. I think that the gameplay in Mario Kart Tour, like, what right now is pushing you to play that game, other than the nostalgia of it being a Mario Kart game?
Honestly, like, there's so many, the progression, I think, is what's kept me in for now. The progression and getting all the other characters, I think, has been great. Granted, some of the maps are just redone with little tweaks as you level up throughout the progression. But it's fun. It keeps you playing. The only downside I would honestly say that I've felt right now is it's other people's accounts. You can see real names you're playing against, but it's definitely bots that you're going up against, you know, bots utilizing those accounts for now. Like, I don't think they've fully released the true multiplayer yet of where you're actually in real time going up against the real people.
A couple of issues there. I think that they're being very coy about letting people know that these are not real people that you're racing up against. This is not
exactly you
putting your skill up against other real humans. These are legit bots. And the kind of, again, a lot of slimy stuff here. They've given these bots names to kind of make them kind of mimic what real humans would give their name, right? And so they're making you feel like you're actually playing real people.
For sure.
I don't know. That's a little bit slimy for me, but I'm with you. The progression of unlocking the stuff, the point system, all the different cool things. And the beauty of a mobile game is that, like, you know, there's a new banner this week. So if you get you know, you don't have to pay for any of the diamonds or gems or whatever they're calling the premium currency. You kind of unlock that slowly as you progress. So there's a chance that you unlock these big new characters as they release. Obviously, you're not going to get all of them. But the cool thing is every 2 weeks, they're going to rotate what they call tours. And so this 2 week period, we're in the New York tour. Now, next week, we're going to be into a different tour where you can, everything's reset and you start to unlock stuff over again. I'm with you. I like the progression of it. But I really want to talk about Call of Duty Mobile.
Hey, real quick, the real question I have for Mario Kart, where's Luigi? Where's Luigi?
Hey, he's coming. He's coming, Vince. Don't worry about him. He's coming. Luigi's, they're all coming. Okay. Well, we may get Winston from Overwatch. Dry. I don't know what we're going to get at this point, man. Who knows?
I wouldn't hold your breath, but yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? But yeah, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Mobile. I went into this, downloading this, knowing that I was going to hate it. I was not going to like it. I absolutely despise Fortnite on mobile. I think it's horrific. Call of Duty and Activision and those guys over there, Tencent. By the way, Tencent seems like they're into everything. They do anything that has to do with money, they're there. But anyways, they're there, my friend. With Call of Duty Mobile, they've done one thing, and I want to point this out to you, Vince, and hear what you think about this. They've done one thing that I think is going to set this game apart from others. They do not require you to do the whole pinch to zoom to aim thing. Basically, you've got your right finger, your left finger kind of moves the camera, but your right finger kind of, you know, if you've got your phone in landscape here, your right finger is what's kind of directing and aiming your gun. But once the gun reticle gets over an enemy, it automatically starts to shoot. It's genius. That whole mechanic is genius. Do you not agree?
Oh, definitely. On a mobile game, I think it's all about making it fun to play. You're not looking to really have the high-tier competitive gameplay. It's more about having a fun experience and something that's actually playable. And I think the controller method on this one is there now. You can still switch the little controller method of where you have the ability to press the button to zoom in and do all that. But having the options to make it more playable to a larger audience, I think, has been great. And in with all that, like all the different maps that you already know, right? The maps we've played on, the maps we love, it's been a huge, you know, asset, I think, to that game, having these maps out there. But also all it's done is really prepped me and warmed me up for Modern Warfare coming in.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly think this is going to be a game that I keep on my phone. I think this one's a lot of fun. Disclaimer, I haven't spent any money on this game. And I haven't spent any money on Mario Kart Tour. Now, I would say that knowing me, I'll probably spend some money on Mario Kart Tour, just knowing where I'm at with Nintendo and loving that. If there's a character on a banner that I'm like, if Luigi comes out and I'm like, oh my God, I want Luigi, whatever. Anyways, probably maybe not. I don't know. But with Call of Duty Mobile, Vince, I found, and by the way, I do want to tell you, brag a little bit, Vince, I'm really never any good at these BR games, Battle Royale games and FPSs. On the mobile version of Call of Duty, I have played 3 rounds of the Battle Royale, and I've won 2 of them. So I'm 2 of 3. In the first one, I had 11 kills. In the other one, I had like 7 kills. And the third one, we're not going to talk about. Third or fourth person out. But I'm sure this is amplifying how much I like the game, that I'm actually decent at it. And people are still learning the controls, and I'm sure in a week from now, everybody will know it way better than me, and I'll be terrible and trash. But right now, I'm really enjoying this game.
Yeah, no, what I've seen, I mean, there definitely is real players you're playing against. I'm skeptical, though, on somewhat, especially in the BR mode, if there are bots there as well, similar to PUBG Mobile. If you've played PUBG Mobile before, you know, you could fire a shot and 10 people just come in your area and kind of stand there. I've seen some of that gameplay style on this one so far. I haven't read anything to confirm or deny it, but I'm starting to wonder that a little bit too. So not to burst your bubble.
No, I think,
I wonder if there's some bots out there too.
I think there absolutely are. I think it's probably 50-50. I think there's probably even more bots than real players. Honestly, though, I'm not sure how many bots there are because of how many people I've seen online are playing this game. I think it's very popular right now. I think eventually we'll see more bots than there even are now, but I'm with you. I definitely think I killed some real players and won some real games, but I do think that a lot of those players I killed were definitely not players that were indeed bots. So that's our conversation. In closing, though, Vince, I think we're only going to see the mobile gaming market do even better. As we begin to see these new ways to monetize and make money, I think we're going to see it just snowball and become even more relevant.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as like Project X Cloud's coming for Xbox and some of the other new developments on their way out, We'll talk more about that in a future episode, but I think they're either going to be releasing more money into this mobile market or companion style games and apps to where when you can't be at your primary console or PC, you can be playing something that helps, you know, boost that main console or that main account of where you're still able to be engaged, you're still able to keep moving forward even on the go. And I think that's the unique step in the right direction of where let us stay engaged with the game so that way you're not that far removed. And that's how they're going to keep people tied in, you know?
I think the companion style game, I think that's the next wave that we're going to see, what you just talked about. So I'm not going to cover it anymore. You did a great job explaining that. Could you imagine, you know, being invested in World of Warcraft like I am and being able to level your professions or do battle pets, you know, or find a way to keep yourself connected? There's so many ways that I think big game companies can keep you invested on mobile. We also have to remember this. We are in the very, very small minority of people who have PCs. Xboxes, PlayStations. We have to understand there's a large portion of the people in the world that the only way they play games is on their phone.
That's right.
Because yeah. They have it. And so we cannot just eliminate and alleviate and not talk about that. We have to understand that that's a thing, and game developers are realizing that's a thing they can make money on. And so
exactly. That
has to be something that we definitely talk about. Cool episode, man. Wow, this has been fun.
It was, man. I enjoy it, and we're excited to see where next week takes us.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Busy Gamer Podcast. Here's something you can do for us. If you've listened this long, it means that either somebody's forcing you to, or you're our mom or grandmother or whatever it may be, but can you please go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, hit the 5-star button, type something really nice about how good-looking Vince is or how good-looking I am, whatever you want to say, and it really does help the show out. The more people who are, you know, getting presented the show on iTunes when they search for video gaming podcasts, the better. So if you guys could do that for us, we would really appreciate it. You can find me, Dusty Porter, over on YouTube, Dustbuster on Twitch. Vince, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/icekicker or over on Instagram at icekicker.
Do it. Appreciate it. Talk to you guys next week.